Welcome and thank you for visiting us for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. For more information about Zion Word, please visit us online at zwmi.com.
Let's get our Bibles this morning, please. I want to go to Acts chapter 2 today. Start with verse 19. There's a lot of symbols in the Bible, and you know, when we come in contact with a symbol in the Word of God, it points to a literal person, place, or thing. It points to a literal happening, so forth and so on. But I was watching the news this week, and how many have been watching the news? I mean, you know, we have all these signs upon us. At the same time, talking to the mailman yesterday, and he said, well, my granddad said that. And you know, so that's the attitude I see in a lot of people today that claim to be believers, is that, well, they don't really know, they don't really anticipate the Lord's return soon, but He is coming soon. Praise the Lord. Now, so in verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned in the darkness, and the moon in the blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Look at the phrase, vapor of smoke. Now, I thought for a long time, and this is true, you know, a hydrogen bomb, atom bomb going off, and you've got the mushroom cloud that hasn't occurred since, it's never occurred until 1945, at the end of the Second World War. But I think that's a possibility, a nuclear blast causing that vapor of smoke, or we could say pillar of smoke. Secondly, when I observed the volcano going off on the TV, and it shot up 11 miles straight up. Now, can you get a hold of that? 11 miles. Ash, lightning, lava coming out 11 miles straight up. Now, if that isn't a vapor of smoke, I'll eat this iPad. Then we have the earthquakes, right? And we have a pastor friend there, a young man there in Nepal that we tried to support some. And he and his wife and little child survived the earthquake, but now the death toll's up to 7,000 in Nepal, and I was thinking about going there a year or so ago, and so the Lord knows. But anyway, there's always someone that's got it more difficult than we do. And so we need to rejoice today that we're not facing these situations. But I asked you a question. What's it going to take for people in the United States to turn back to God? What's it going to take for the church to get on fire for God? What's it going to take for us to appreciate our salvation instead of just nonchalantly living day to day, just trying to get by and, you know, and God's, where's God? And we got to wake up and get back on fire for God. Can I have the amen? Because you see, time's running out. We don't have much time to get our house in order. Now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 21 today, please. And we're going to look at verse 19. We'll start there today. Now, this is when Jesus and the disciples, of course, were walking along. And verse 19 says, "And when he saw the fig tree," everybody say fig tree. All right. "When he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth and forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon the fig tree withered away." Now, what in the world does this mean? Well, there's always an interpretation. One main interpretation in the Scripture. It's primarily, remember, Jesus came to His own. The Jews. All right. They rejected Him as a Messiah. At least the leaders did, and the common folk suffered because of it. So this fig tree, we believe that the Bible teaches us that the fig tree represents Israel with no fruit. Now, because they rejected Christ, the nation withered away. Now, Israel was destroyed by General Titus in 70 AD. But there was no fruit in Israel's day when Jesus came to them to present himself as Savior and Lord. He said, another you'll receive in his name, talking about the coming Antichrist. Nevertheless, Israel paid the price and is still paying the price today. Now, there's only two possibilities about the fig tree. Only two possible interpretations. One, it represents Israel. And two, it represents Israel. Did you get that? Make sure you get it. Now, go to Romans chapter 11 now, please, and verse 20. Romans 11 and verse 20. This is somewhat difficult to understand, but keep in mind we're talking about Israel rejecting Christ because of no fruit, and they withered away and dried up, just like the fig tree did when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Are you with me now? In verse 20, let's start in verse 19. No, scratch that, verse 20. I'll come back to 19 in a minute. All right. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. It's talking about Israel. And thou standest by faith, being not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that's talking about Israel, take heed lest he also spare not thee. That's talking about Gentiles. Right. Believing Gentiles. All right. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Who fell? Israel. Severity, but toward thee goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Now that's conditional salvation, everybody. See, we have a part to play. Unlike the hyper-grace folks are teaching, we have a part to play, and that is to stay in faith and in grace. That's it. We do have a part to play, and that is God wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to conform us into the image of the Son of God. Now, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So what happened is Israel fell. They were cut off, but God's going to bring them back. Now, the reason they were cut off was unbelief. But secondly, God had the Gentiles in mind. In the Old Testament, the Jews were the only ones that had the covenant. Now, Philistines and heathen could come in if they would accept Jehovah God and come in through his requirements, you see. Most didn't. Now, Israel's still cut off today. Did you hear that? They're looking for the Messiah, but it'll not be Christ Jesus from heaven. It'll be the Antichrist that's apparently alive and well, getting ready to come on the scene. Now, in Ezekiel, verse 20, we have an interesting scripture today, if you're taking notes or whatever. Ezekiel 20 and verse 34 is an astounding scripture, a prophecy. I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered. Now, when was Israel scattered? 70 A.D. Okay. With a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. So God is saying now through the prophet that he will gather you out of the countries that you've been scattered to, if I could paraphrase. Now, if we look at Isaiah chapter 11, now in verse 11, for another scripture that's astounding, really. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. What shall be left, then it gives the places and so forth and so on. Then verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. Now look at this, the last part now. And gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Amen. God is the one gathering his chosen people back to Israel.
That's right. Amen.
As was prophesied.
Yes. Amen.
Now, so when God said he would show signs in the heaven above and in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor or smoke, a sign, I looked that up, and it's an indication of something. Or it signifies something.
Right.
And I like to paraphrase and say, it's a signal
right.
of something. Now, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 32, so we see then that God's going to gather Israel that has been dispersed for 2,000 years from the four corners of the earth. He did that in 1948. Glory to God. Matthew 24 now and verse 32. Hallelujah. To repeat, God set in motion the regathering of Israel, or I could say the ingathering of Israel from all over the earth, that came to the forefront in 1948, May 14th, I believe it is. And so at that date in time, Israel became a nation again.
Amen.
Which was the budding of the fig tree.
Right.
Glory to God. Now, there's only two possibilities for the budding of the fig tree. Israel became a nation in 1948, or Jerusalem was liberated in 1967 in the Six-Day War. After all, Jerusalem is the city of David, from which Messiah will come one day and walk through the main gate and sit down on the throne of David. Glory to God. However it is, we have both of these signs in our days.
Amen.
Now, I wasn't born, I was born after 1948, and I was born before 1967, so. But you see, I've struggled now for 40 years to try to figure out how long a generation is. Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. So that's what I'm talking about. Now he's going to tell us about the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, it puts forth leaves, and you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, now to recap, the budding of the fig tree or the blooming of the fig tree had to be either in 1948 or 1967.
Right. Yes.
No other possibilities. And here Jesus said, you know summer's nigh. In other words, it's going to get hot for some people. No, it means that, yeah, the S-O-N's coming back, coming up. Well, the sun's coming up in the morning.
Yeah.
Every tear will be gone from my eyes.
Praise God.
So likewise, turn to somebody and say likewise. When you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door. See one thing. The blooming of the fig tree.
Praise God.
A fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And they'll go tell me this is just a book. No, no, it's the Word of God. Then verse 34 is the kicker. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. When we read Matthew 24, It's talking about the Great Tribulation period. Abomination of desolation, so forth and so on. Jews fleeing to the mountains, etc., etc. Mark of the beast, judgment of the nations, all of that. Jesus said, the generation that sees that observed the budding of the fig tree will not pass away till everything that's spoken in Matthew 24 comes to pass.
Amen.
That's the Word of God. Now, to recap, most of Matthew 24, if not all of it, pertains to the Great Tribulation to come. Therefore, we're 7 years closer to rapture than most people think.
Amen.
Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The question is how long is a generation? This is a big sign. A signal.
Yes.
An indication. An indicator that something big is getting ready to take place that the world doesn't know anything about and most of the church has been lied to. I can't help that. The Word of God is going to come to pass like Jesus said, no matter what we believe or do not believe. No matter what we accept or do not accept. The question is, are you ready? That's the question. Because Jesus said, pray that you're counted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. That'll let us know there's going to be people that go to church that's going to be worthy and the people that's not going to be worthy. The people that's not worthy are professing Christians. Never been born again. Are not serving God with their whole heart. If you've been born again, your name's in the book. The question is, when is Jesus coming? I don't know when He's coming. Except in a day and an hour that we think not. He's coming when the Godhead says. Now, how long's a generation? Turn to somebody and say, the preacher doesn't know. I could speculate in saying it's 40 years, 50 years, or 70 years. And we could start with 1948 and 1967. However you want to look at it, we only got a few years left, and maybe He'll come this fall at Feast of Trumpets. That means if we're going to Africa, we better hurry up. Maybe the last of the Mohegans here. But I'm not sad about it. I'm happy about it. Praise God. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Just a pilgrim. I told a guy one time I was working with, I said, when the rapture comes, you can have everything I got. Glory to God. I won't need it. Furthermore, I'm not leaving anything behind for the Antichrist. Hello, somebody. Either you believe the Word of God or you don't. Do I have any believers in here?
Yes.
How long is a generation? A lifespan. Now, your medical doctor's average lifespan is 56, 58 years. And you're going to go to them for information? Hello? Well, how long's a lifespan? I think the average lifespan is 79. Let's just average 80, okay? It should be more than that. But we're going to speculate and say 80. What's that got to do with anything? Nothing. 3 score and 10, 70. And then another 10 on top of that. So it could be a 70 or 80 according to Psalms, this and that. Could be 120. I'm believing God for 85 if the rapture doesn't come. And then when I get to be 85, I'll decide if I want to live any longer. Well, that's what Paul said. Now, I've watched old people. Now, I'm off now. I've watched older people. And they come to a place where they've had enough, they want to go. But we got to give them up. That's the hard part. Because we're holding on to them, see. Anyway, I think I'm sure that I know that we are the terminal generation before the coming of the Lord. When I look at the children that are growing up, if they don't have a revival, we've got a total generation of demon possession in the United States. Totally rebellious? Huh? Who are you going to blame? I'm going to start out blaming the devil. But secondly, the last days has told us that there's going to be these perilous times. And false prophets. Watched one on Facebook the other day, and he said he was Jesus and God and all that. Lying devil. Anybody watch that? And people by the thousands they're deceived, folks. They're deceived. Now, that's a sign. There's all kinds of signs. But anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 11 and verse 19 now, back there. Praise God. That's the one I wanted to look at a while ago. Why was Israel cut off? Well, here's one reason why. That will say then the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. So what I'm saying is the Bible teaches now that Israel was cut off so that we Gentiles could have a chance to come in. Now, God has a big plan. Furthermore, in St. John chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus said something that we often overlook here. He said, and by the way, he was talking to the Jews, but he said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That's the Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Glory to God. Now, God is making one new man, made up of Gentiles and Jews. No difference today. So Jews can come in through the new birth and get into the kingdom of God just like a Gentile can today. The other sheep that Jesus spoke of, to repeat, was you and me. Amen. All right? Now, is God going to leave Israel in that condition of being cut off? No. Let's look at Ephesians 2:15. Praise the Lord, everybody. Is everybody happy today? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So he's making a new man today. That's the point. And actually, it's the body of Christ, the church. Now, when you're born again, you're in the church. Amen. You don't have to change memberships. If you're born again, you're in the church. Now, where you go to the local assembly is between you and the Lord, but I suggest you obey what the Holy Spirit tells you. You won't have the proper shepherd, under-shepherd, and you won't have the proper teachings that God wants you to have at the present moment. Because we're all growing, and sometimes there's a change, sometimes not. So it depends. Now, there's going to be a new man. And verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God. Who? Both Jew and Gentile are reconciled unto God. That's the new man. In one body by the cross. So because the Son of God went to the cross and died on the cross to make atonement, all that have believed on except him are accepted of the Father God and born again into the family of God. Got to have the amen. Amen. Now, not only did Jesus fulfill the commandments for us, the Ten Commandments, he also tore down the wall of partition between man and God and also between Jew and Gentile. Right. I don't have anything against Jews. Not one thing. Yeah. It was prophesied they'd reject the Messiah. Come on now. Yeah. Now, God didn't make them reject the Messiah, but he knew they would. The reason they rejected the Messiah is so we could get in. Amen. So, I don't blame the Roman soldiers for driving the nails in the hands and feet of the Savior. It was God's plan that His Son would go to the cross and die for you and me. Amen. And so, if I'm going to blame anybody, I'm going to blame the devil. He was the one behind all this, but God allowed it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, Satan thought, I'll kill God on the cross and that'll stop this salvation thing. That devil's stupid. Mm-hmm. You can't kill God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so God has a big plan and Satan cannot disrupt it. There's another little signal now that lets us know Jesus is getting ready to come. In Matthew 24 and verse 14. Now there's many ways to look at this verse, but right now I'm looking at this verse in light of the second coming. Everybody say second coming. All right. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Amen.
We got the blooming of the fig tree. We've got Israel becoming a nation. We've got all these prophetic words coming to pass. We've got pillars of smoke, this and that, earthquakes, tsunamis, people going crazy, all types of problems on this earth. But God's going to have a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. God allows it all to get the church ready. Amen. I wished it wasn't so, but it is. Nevertheless, God will give us grace, anointing of the Holy Spirit to come through any situation that we face in life's journey today. Praise God. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Amen. Now there are 3,000 million that have not heard the gospel in the world. Now, but the Lord didn't say that every person would hear the gospel.
That's right.
Hello, somebody. Hello. Y'all gone home? He said the gospel of the kingdom should be preached in every nation.
Right.
It has been.
Amen.
Now the Lord waits on the maturing of the saints. Now there's always going to be babes in the Lord. You understand that. But when you got babes in the Lord for 30, 40 years, we've got a problem. Right? It's time to get on fire for God. Amen. Get your house in order. The Lord's coming. Praise God. Now, there are those that teach that we're supposed to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That is true. The literal kingdom is the millennium. In the future. So what are we supposed to really preach today? Paul said this. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
That's the message.
Yep.
I'm not kingdom now. Now, there's a spiritual kingdom. We're in it if we're born again. But the millennium hadn't arrived yet. Jesus hadn't set it up yet. He will. Those that are going to be in the literal kingdom are in the spiritual kingdom right now. And God has given us a certain amount of authority to operate in. But He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I tell you what, God's will is not done right now. But it will one of these days. It'll be done. Totally. Amen. I'm looking forward to that time. Anyway, we're going to preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified. We're going to preach the word of the Lord, the second return of Christ. We're going to teach all the doctrines of the Bible. We're going to teach the kingdom of God, but in its proper place.
Amen.
Amen. I would rather preach the King than the kingdom. Can I get on with this now? We're about through. Praise the Lord. Now, so in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I might have quoted this one to you. Yeah, I quoted it to you. There's your scripture to back it up. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was the message the Apostle Paul said we're supposed to preach. Amen, the primary one. All right. Now in Romans 11:26. Now, after the gospel of the kingdom is preached, Jesus has been the subject, His crucifixion being the top message. Are you following me now? The last part of the generation, the terminal generation, before the coming of the Lord. The next prophetic event will be the rapture of the church. Then we got 7 years of great tribulation. God judging Israel for rejecting Christ. And we think, well, it must be all over. No, God has not permanently cut Israel off.
Amen.
Now in verse 26, the Bible says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So when Christ comes back at the second coming with the saints and to set up the kingdom, Israel will accept him as Savior and Lord, their Messiah, that they rejected. They'll say, "What are these scars in your hands?" And Jesus will say, "They were given to me in the house of my friends," the prophet Zechariah said. So you see, when that day comes, all of Israel shall be saved in one day.
Yep.
Praise God. You talk about revival, man. That's revival. That will occur, so God will bring them back again into covenant. Totally. Every single Jew. Praise God that survives the tribulation. Amen. Are you glad about that?
Yes.
Now, what are we supposed to do until this time comes? Well, my exhortation today is look up. Our redemption is drawn nigh. Job said, "I know my Redeemer lives. In the latter day, though the skin worms eat this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God." We're going to see God face to face one of these days. Are you ready? I think our nation is pretty much gospel hardened. How can you get tired of hearing the old story? The old story. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise the Lord. The Lord is going to come back. We are to teach this, preach this, witness this. The Lord is going to come back. Now there were 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And the 5 wise had oil in their lamps. Right? And the shout came. The bridegroom's coming. Oh, Lord. The bridegroom comes. Let's go out to meet him. Right now, the church is in preparation. You're here in preparation. God's pruning us up, changing us from time to time. But when Jesus comes in the air, there'll not be time to say, "I'm sorry." There'll not be time to say, "Lord, I should have done this and that, didn't do this and that." There'll not be time to make amends. So I'm asking you today, is all well with you and the Father? Now here's the deal. If you accept the Son, the Father will accept you. You reject the Son, God, the Father will have to reject you. I'm not going to reject the Son, no. Furthermore, I'm not going to reject the Holy Ghost, no. Mm-mm. And so, Jesus is my life today. I have no life outside of Christ Jesus. There is no life outside of the life. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come to the Father but by Him. So He's the way. I explain it this way. If you've been saved and born again, you stay saved the same way. Remember when we made the long, lonely walk and we give our hearts to God? What the old timers call it, give our hearts to God. We meant it, didn't we? How many meant it?
Amen.
If you didn't mean it, then it didn't, you weren't changed, you see. Furthermore, if we backslide, and it's possible to backslide and get away from God, get cold, and Jesus is not your first love anymore, and the spiritual things don't matter, and you just get numb to the kingdom, and you got to make your way back. And it's difficult to do, but you got to start. And if you don't start, you're never going to get back. That prodigal son, if he had died in the hog pen, he'd have went to hell.
That's right, yeah.
But he made it out, and he got back to the Father just in time. You know what? The Father was standing there waiting. The Father God waits for people today, but one day, it's going to be one day too long.
Speak your truth. Here I stand, open hands.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Zion Word Ministries International. For more information regarding our ministry, please visit us online at zwmi.com. 'Cause I'm a fighter.